in a little matter of speaking to grab hold of the truths that we just sang about, revealed in the Bible. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. Why don't we head on over there? I want to do a little recap because this series on the Christmas messages that we've been doing, really we're leading up to this point and into the understanding of what this is all about, Jesus Christ. I believe in the first message, right after Thanksgiving, we understood what the real reason for the season was. A lot of people will say the reason for the season is Jesus. But see, Jesus had to come because of another reason, and that was sin. That was a message we had to listen to. We have to get a grasp of why this Savior came, and that's because of our sin. And then the next week, we looked at that manger site, that one we have underneath the tree there. It's the common ones we see often, the people that were gathered around in that scene that we find in the Gospels of Matthew and in Luke, and how we may identify with some of them, maybe all of them in some points. And then last week, we looked at the timing of all of this, the way it went, and how the silence of 400 years, not glory, no revealing, no prophet, no Ark of the Covenant in the temple, nothing. But then finally the skies opened. And right on time, our God shows up 2,000 years ago to present Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. What an awesome understanding for our lives today. He is an on-time God. But today I want to look again at that baby. I want to take us a little deeper into who he is because of his name. And we're going to take a look into Matthew chapter 1 real quick, and we're going to understand maybe a little more today about what that name is all about. That name we know in America, in our culture today, as Jesus. We're going to spend a little time getting into that name and what that means, where it came from, and what it means to us as an application to our lives today. When we head over to Matthew chapter 1, we'll carry into the gospel here right in the middle. So I want us to understand what's going on. In chapter 1, we find the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the names from understanding of the son of David, son of Abraham, all the way to who he is through Joseph. And then we find Joseph there. He's dealing with the issues at hand for his life. Really, he's found his world in quite turmoil. I spoke a little bit a couple weeks about, here's this young man. He had a craft, he had a trade, he had a plan, he had a little lady on his side that was betrothed. He was heading to good places. But something happened, and his life was flipped upside down. He didn't expect it drastically. He was turned to a different direction. And his situation, loved ones, was really serious. This wasn't something like we'd learn today, oh, you know, my girlfriend's pregnant, or oh, I didn't mean to do that, oops. This was major. And Joseph knew that, and we learned how a couple weeks ago he was a just man. He wasn't just going to flippantly put this girl to the side. He contemplated some things. He started thinking on some things. And as he thought about how to handle this situation correctly, here comes an angel. And I really wonder, as I wrote that down, how many of us may be distracted when God sends us the angel to answer our needs. Busyness in the world, and I've got this, and I've got to figure out how to do this. And the angel comes and speaks to us, and we just pass right on by. Anybody ever may realize maybe I passed up on an angel of the Lord. You know, we all have angels, the Bible says. But Joseph didn't do that. He doesn't miss it. And I want us to grab hold of this understanding of what he didn't miss, because I want to go beyond angels to the one the angel proclaimed. Let's go ahead and read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for the words of truth that come forth from the scriptures. And they are not common words. They are not anything but the inspirational understandings of your revelation to us, the very words that you've given to these men of old to give to us. And Lord, I want to take hold of maybe what this all means and then what it means to us, each of us personally, as we go into the next few days and enjoy this Christmas season 2019. And whether it's a difficult one because of loss, or it's actually been a blessed one because of blessings and materially or financially or spiritually, whatever the case, Lord, we want to find our foundation rooted in this one called Jesus. Open our hearts, Lord, and open our minds, and let us see the true glory of the one that we come to worship. In that powerful name we will pray, Jesus' name, amen. And of course, I do want to speak to you this morning about the name Jesus. The name Jesus. I want us to understand a little bit of background. In understanding in the Hebrew language, do you understand that the Hebrew language does not have a J? So have we ever heard words like Yeshua, or Yahweh, that Y? And sometimes the other side of Yahweh is Jehovah. But in the Hebrew language, that doesn't exist. And so I want you to understand as we go through, what are all these names? Where does all this come from? It's the different languages that we deal with in Hebrew, in Greek, in American English. And so the common name for you to understand and the origin of where this Jesus name came from, we have to really get past the Greek and the Jesus into the Hebrew. And I want you to write under Jesus in that scripture there in 121, Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A. That's really Jesus's Hebrew name. Jesus is the Greek transliteration of that name. And so understanding this name Yeshua, we can now take and explain this through what it is linked to. And that's the name we commonly know today as Joshua or Yeshua. And so Jesus has this name that maybe isn't so unique. It didn't just show up here in Matthew. There's actually a history of this name. And in the Bible, this name seems to have its origins, from what I can tell, in Numbers chapter 13. I want you all to head on over there. Head all over to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. We got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And I forgot, I didn't do my studying. What's next? Numbers, thank you. Numbers. Let's head over to Numbers. And we're going to head over to chapter 13 of Numbers, four books into the Bible. And I want us to look at something because this is very interesting and it's going to give you a little history of where this all came from. You see, God doesn't just act out of impulse. He has a plan and it's been set from before the foundations of the world were set. You are here not because of some accident. You are here by purpose in this very spot to hear this very word even today. And so may you receive maybe a little understanding of how this whole Jesus thing came. And in Numbers 13 verses 8. I want to just check it out real quick, and I'm not going to go through all that's going on. Here's the time when Moses is still on the other side of the Jordan in the wilderness, and he's sending the spies to go look into this new promised land that God is giving this people of Israel. Hey, what does this all look like? And you'll see a whole bunch of names from like verse 5 on. Each tribe of the 12 tribes has a man, a leader, that is picked to go into the Canaanite land to spy it out. And in verse 8, let's just go look at this man's name. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Hoshea, or Oshea, as the King James will, they'll take the H off of there. Both of them are correct. This man was named the son of Nun. Now, if you know anything about the name Joshua and the one who would succeed Moses in a few years, you understand he's the son of Nun also. But the son of Nun wasn't speaking of a different man. Very interestingly enough, this very Hoshea, let's look at verse 16. And we find all the names given. And this one name was picked out in verse 16. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And then get this verse. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua, Yeshua. What's the deal with that? What Moses, why was this the only guy that you go and change his name? And where did this come from? Hoshea to Yoshea. Well, it's symbolism. It's actually quite profound. What Moses was realizing, maybe as he wrote this, he added this note in. I don't know. But what he was doing was he was spiritually relating himself as an heir and a successor, Joshua, to himself. He's showing this man great esteem, and it's actually a type of adoption. He's actually taking this man as Moses is the picture of God as the leader out of the promised land, or I'm sorry, out of slavery. Joshua would then take the mantle, as per se, and go into the promised land. Of great esteem was Moses looking upon Hoshea by giving him the name Joshua. Now, I want to go further into that because this was the man who was going to take these people into the promised land. Moses had known this, for whenever he wrote this, it was already probably done. And it was already exclaimed that he would do this. Hoshea means salvation, or Oshia. You can write that up in there somewhere in your notes. Oshia, Joshua is a different name. Oshia means salvation. Now I'm going to say any person of God who wants to be a leader, who wants to lead the people of God, especially at this point in time, probably does not want to put on himself anything, salvation. You get what I'm saying? And Moses in his wisdom says, I'm not going to give you that. You see, men with leadership skills often fall in prideful ways. I'm going to change your name to the Lord is salvation, Yeshua. So he takes his name as the new leader and going into the promised land. If you're not the salvation, you may be a picture of the salvation, but it's the Lord is the salvation. Can I get an amen in understanding that? So he was taking the reality of a great leader who Moses was, the prophetic leader that Moses was, and he was changing Oshia, salvation, into Joshua, Yoshea, the Lord saves. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So let me clear up my point a little bit about today, because in our culture, this is kind of a little different. We have to understand what names really mean. Really, when we understand names today, they don't reflect who you really are. Okay, it's not really, I'm this name because I was named this and I grew into this name. Today's culture, what really happens is your name is reflective of your parents. Really, if we understand that. There's a whole social science behind this, the name trends that go in our society. Really, let me give you it as an illustration. Today, in our last few generations, hundreds of years, names of people and the way they are studied can give us clues into their family's line. Clues like their political science, their political stance, whether they're liberal or they're conservative. You can see that through the names of the children. You can also see their ethnic background. You'll know some names have just an ethnic background. You hear a name, you go, wow, that's an African name. Wow, that's an Oriental name and an Asian name. An Indian name. I can tell that. You can also understand a little bit about their economic ranking. Interesting enough, these people use the science to market to you when they work into their ways of marketing today, how to get you to buy things. That's really a science today. But really, our name actually reflects our parents. And so back in the ancient cultures, a person's name was different. It was given to them to reflect who they were. Now, I don't understand all that, because how did the parents know how they named the kid and the kid would grow up to be that name? I have no idea how it worked, but this is actually reflective of what the Bible teaches. So not so much about the parents, but your name was about yourself back then. And what you were named really became what you became. I was debating whether to tell the story, but I think I might. And you can fact check this if you want. I believe it's true. A few generations, maybe about a generation ago, there was some parents on the East Coast. You may have heard this. They decided to conduct an experiment on their own family. And they had two boys, and they named the boys Winner and Loser. Apparently this is true. Maybe to see if the name would actually be labeled and lead them into their destiny. And as these kids grew, and off they went into adulthood, the end of the story brings the exact opposite of their name was who they became. Where Loser became a great success in his family, in his business, in his community, and Winner became a product of the jailhouse system. So just to understand, your names aren't given to you to give to you the leading or your destiny. And so as we know now that as Joshua, it was a little different for him back then, the meaning of Joshua as Moses was giving to him would be called the Lord is salvation. And so much so was this a picture of Jesus that he would have given the very same name to Jesus. Later on, God would be giving him that same name, And really, the parallels become even more interesting. Let's get about Joshua and Jesus. Let's look at both of them. One, they were both born into slavery. Joshua was most likely born in the time of Egypt and into slavery. Here is Jesus, the King of Glory, being brought into the slavery of not only the human body, but also the Roman authority over the Hebrew people. They were both born into slavery. They were also both born under Mosaic law. As Moses came in and received the law from Sinai, Joshua began to live under that Mosaic law. Not perfectly. But Jesus was born under that law, and he lived perfectly and fulfilled it and completed it. Very interesting. And then I found this other one that I really was blessed by. As Joshua went into the promised land, he went to a place called Jericho. And if we remember in Jericho, as they marched around that city, there was something binding them, keeping them away from the salvation of that city. It was a big wall. And a big wall had to come down. And Joshua, by the power of God and his angels and armies, trumpeted that wall with the priests, and the walls fell down. And I came across Ephesians 2:14. And I want to parallel this with Jesus, as it says, Jesus broke down the middle wall of separation for you, and Jew and Gentile now come together. Can I get an amen? Do you understand the wall that he breaks for you to bring you and graft you into the promises of God are as powerful, more powerful than the walls of Jericho? So here's Joshua breaking down the walls of Jericho, and Jesus breaking down the spiritual walls that keep you from God. This is an awesome understanding. And so as Joshua went and did his work, he dies off, and over the next centuries, that name, Yeshua, becomes quite common. And the impact of Joshua's leadership, of course, I want to name my kid after that guy. There's going to be a lot of Joshuas coming over the line. And interesting enough, when that Christ came and was born in the manger, that name, Yeshua, or Jesus, was quite common. But I want to tell you something, loved ones. That man who would grow up one day from that baby said, "Behold, I will make all things new." And there is nothing common about Jesus in that name today. He was making the common uncommon. And do we need to understand that in our lives today? Do we go about the whole humdrum way of life? Or are we embracing the power of the new day that he gives us and his mercies that are new each day? This is the joy of God making the common uncommon in your day today. And so once the name Yeshua was attached to the baby in the manger, it changed everything. Now the Lord's salvation was attached to the very fulfillment of what Joshua was just a picture of. And the joy of the power of God begins to be revealed to the people in Jerusalem and abroad to the Jewish people. So that name begins to reference that great leader of Joshua becomes fulfilled in the baby in the manger. And now the promises become so much more. Salvation comes to the shepherds. Healing comes to the needed hopeless. The destruction comes to the demons who need some destruction of some demons in their lives. How about the resurrection of the dead? All of a sudden this begins to happen. All of a sudden the way comes to the truth of the wayward. I have a way to get to God? Yes, you do. He's standing in front of you right now, and his name is Jesus. This is quite a name, loved ones. And I want to clarify a bit of scripture that can often be confusing to some. As we looked at verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from his sins. But then we look at verse 23. I'm in Matthew chapter 1, by the way. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Then it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. Okay, so he's got two names. But let's look at verse 25 again. Now he goes into, and Joseph didn't know her till she had been brought forth her first son, and they called his name Jesus. So did they disobey Isaiah and just obey the angel and this Emmanuel and Jesus? Well, here it is. I hope to bring a little... Anybody ever been confused about that? I saw a few of you shaking your head. Nobody wants to raise your hand. But this is what it really means. Understanding Jesus and Yeshua, it's the fulfillment, Emmanuel, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. That's where the name comes. But Yeshua, Jesus, it's what God does. Emmanuel is who God is. They go together. Emmanuel means God with us. It's who Jesus is. But Jesus means God, our salvation. It's what he does. Do we get this? They go together to complete the picture. This is what we learn on Wednesdays about who God is with love. The Bible says God is love, right? And so if he's love, then what is mercy? Mercy is love in action. So God and his mercies are new, but it's who he is in love. And so understanding that Yeshua is the salvation, it's what he does, and Emmanuel is who he is, God with us. Hopefully that clears you up a little bit on how that is the power of that name that we really look at today. Now, as understanding what God is, I want to look at that power of the name. Look over to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. You can look up on the screen, head on over there. But as Peter was preaching the first gospel messages as a church is born out and proliferating in the New Testament, understanding what their conquest is and the harvesting of souls, Peter preaches out Acts 4:12. It says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Do we see what Christmas is all about? There had to be something coming forth more powerful than the sin in the world that the goats and the sheep and the oxen were slain for over and over and never really atoned for. It was that power of Christmas, the first Christmas of Jesus. Christ saves the last Adam, the one who would fulfill all the sacrifices. It was this powerful name that was given that would finally understand the power of God in his salvation plan. This is such good news, loved ones, that I can't proclaim to you more than getting past all the tinsel and all the lights and all the distractions and all the presents and all the materialism that Christmas has become. And when we grab a hold of who Christmas is all about and why he has come and who I am, and we bank on him and not just the euphoria of some Christmas Eve or some Christmas Day celebration with our family. It may be good, it may be bad, so that depends on how Christmas reacts. When I get the foundation, it's just about Jesus, I start releasing the power of God in my life. And that name brings salvation to me afresh. And I understand now, not that I'm getting saved again, but that power that is in the name of Jesus becomes more than jingle bells and presents. And when January comes, I feel so hollow about all of this because I'm not keeping my eyes on Jesus. And when I keep my eyes on Jesus, all the understandings of who he is carry me through the ups and downs. Anybody need a little reminder of that this morning? Amen? Amen. So what about the importance of that name for us today? Do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? That's the question of all eternity. This is what you will be asked in the beginning of your entrance into eternity. Who is Jesus to you? Why are you here? Why should I let you in? Whatever the questions are, whatever the person standing in front of you is, Jesus will eventually come before you. Why are you to be led into heaven? And understanding if you do believe and you've repented of your sin and you grabbed hold of the work of Jesus Christ and by faith you have accepted him as your Savior, that yes is the understanding that he is who he says he is to you. Now you can understand that and go through life with your ups and downs and get through things in a wonderfully powerful way. But there's also people who, yeah, I kind of get that. Yeah, I've heard of that name. Yeah, I don't know. I've tried that and it really hasn't really worked. I want you to understand something. There's a reckoning coming. If that's you today, there's a reckoning coming. There's going to be a time where all of this fades. The truth is the truth. And I have to proclaim to you today that that baby born in the manger in Bethlehem died on a cross there in Jerusalem. And he did the work that you could not do. If you're banking on your good works, if you're hoping that the weights of judicial systems of eternity are giving you an okay into heaven, it doesn't work that way. And I have to proclaim to you, it's by faith, through grace, that you have been saved out of your own works. It is a gift of God. Do you understand the gift of God today? Do you understand the gift is not wrapped in a present? It came wrapped in a baby. And that baby says, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to grab hold of all that sin and I'm going to put it onto me. And God forbid us that we be believers and blaspheme the name too. We want to be believers and proclaim the name and not be judged. I was looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. We had gone through this a few months ago, but I wanted to reiterate that as we go over the name of Jesus because I believe it to be so powerful. Philippians 2 verses 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. This is very sobering. And of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I just have a burden in my heart for those people who shake their fists and say, he's failed me, or I don't want to hear it. I just want to live my life. I'm remembered of an old gospel preacher who preached alongside Billy Graham. He passed away a few years ago, he was a Canadian broadcaster. But as he was dying, as his later years were coming, he knew he was coming to an end. He was interviewed a few times by Christian people, and one person came to him and asked, so what do you miss about Christianity? And he says, I miss Jesus. I miss Jesus. Loved ones, while your hearts are tender, that's when we move towards him. He's always around us waiting to embrace you. Don't walk away from whatever it is, whether it be salvation, whether it be him dealing with some sin issue in your life, or whether it be just something going forward to the next level spiritually. Grab hold of that powerful truth of Jesus and who he is. And I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you as a believer. He has something new for you this year coming up. As many days as he's going to give you, there's some wonderful blessings coming up in 2020 for many of you. You just have to embrace the truths of Jesus and apply them into your lives. Amen? Now for the unbeliever, they have to make a decision with what I'm talking about. You see, the gospel truth comes presented with a decision to be made. You can say, I just don't want to hear it. Well, that's a decision. I just don't want to deal with it. Well, that's a decision. And understanding that the unbeliever will do exactly what Philippians says, that you will bow your knee before him, whether now or whether in eternity. It's going to happen. And today I'm proclaiming to you the truth and the light of Jesus Christ and that name that is above all names. Call unto him. Whether you're hearing that in this place right now or on a recording, it doesn't matter. You can bow your head and you can say, Jesus, forgive me, and I'm a sinner. And I need to repent and come to you. Take me as I am and clean me up, Lord. What I can't do, you can do. It's the gospel, loved ones. It's the gospel. And the name of Jesus simply is really important. Really important. From Oshia, Yeshua, Joshua, picture into the fulfillment of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Surrender to what God is doing in your life today. We're going to have a busy couple days, right? There's going to be a lot of distractions. There's going to be some ups and downs. You may have some temptations, maybe to yell at somebody, maybe to grab hold of something and shake a little hard, maybe to ingest some things you may not should be ingesting. You're going to have some choices to make over the next few days. Maybe habits that are, Bill, I've been looking at this stuff on the computer for years, but I can't get through it anymore. Jesus can get you through it, amen? Jesus can clear you and break those chains, and he can give you a new life that you didn't have yesterday. And he can reinvigorate that life that you thought you had years ago. And he wants to embrace you and hold you and love on you. You know, I found it as I close so amazingly humorous in my heart. I don't know if you're going to find the humor in it. But this chapter in Matthew was right to Joseph. And this name was so important. Remember what God gave some little instruction to that first Adam back in the garden? He kind of blew it. God wasn't going to do it this time. Because not only in that chapter 1 of Matthew does the angel go over to Joseph, but in case he kind of forgets and blows it, in Luke it says the angel went over to Mary too. And in Luke 1, 30 and 31, I found it just amazingly humorous that he makes sure to catch both ends of these people and say, hey, you're going to have to name this guy the right, this baby the right name. And so verse 30 in chapter 1 of Luke, it says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Do you ever make a decision with your spouse and you kind of wait for confirmation? Hey, I had an angel come by. Hey, what did he say? Name him Jesus. I think we should name him Jesus. It's an important name. It's a powerful name. It is a name that is above all names. Do you hear that the Lord is your Savior today? The name Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. Let's pray. Father,